Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host coming to you from Boston, one of the quietest big cities in the country, from what I gather, after all of the recent protests that have been going on, which I'll be talking about. But I'm calling from the Hub. At 11 p.m. on the last day of May, 5/31/2020. Be starting a new month soon, and the warm weather will be setting in. So we probably can expect things to heat up in more ways than one. There's a lot of issues going on that tend to think things will start getting hot. But anyway, I want to welcome you to the show since our last broadcast in mid-May. And I would like to let you know that the chat room is open. And the call-in number, if you'd like to call in, is 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, or if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Well, the big story, of course, is the riots and unrest that's going on throughout the country over the recent death of a man in Minneapolis. Minnesota has had a number of incidents there, and that's spreading throughout the country. I haven't seen anything as significant here in my city, Boston, but of course I could have missed it, but I would think I would have heard about it by now. But we do see a lot of unrest, and the National Guard has been called out in nearly a dozen states over these protests. And I'd just like to say that there's an old saying that two wrongs don't make a right. If the policeman committed an injustice, then we have a system to handle that. It does not authorize people to go and loot and destroy property. This seems to be a never-ending story that they almost view it as an opportunity to enrich themselves. But I would hope and pray that they try to let the judicial system handle the matter. And there's a lot of processes, appeals, and efforts that you can make to see that justice is done. And sometimes it isn't always done, and we still move on. But I have to urge you not to resort to destroying property, probably only destroying the neighborhoods and cities that you're going to live in, and that could serve you well, especially as we deal with this continuing coronavirus pandemic, talking about Charlie, but I did want to mention that the riots are no answer to the problem. And you should also be aware that there can be forces that are pushing for more riots. Sort of reminds us of the comment by Rahm Emanuel that we should not let a crisis go to waste. So are they using the death of the man in his clash with the Minneapolis police officer as a reason to push their political agenda? Some may even be pushing personal agendas of enriching themselves, as you see them break into stores and loot the merchandise. Well, anyway, I may come back to that. I know I'm going to get Dr. Lively's viewpoint on it and probably in the non-live portion of the show, but right now I want to pick up on the latest I have on the coronavirus pandemic. And as I have in the past, I've given you some of the statistics on the infections and the number that have died from the virus. So let me give you those right now. On a global scale, there have been 6,059,017 people infected, and of those that died, it totals 369,126 fatalities. So those numbers naturally are going up. The U.S. has 1,770,165 infected, and we're up to 103,776 that have died. So just a few days ago, we had passed the 100,000 death mark, and of course it is increasing as the days go on. But I have done some number crunching, and it looks like the stats are heading lower on a percentage level, not on a numerical level, but percentage-wise, they are getting less. For example, in the case of the global deaths, we have a decrease of from 26% to 18% between our show 4 weeks ago and tonight's show. So it's going in the right direction, 26% down to 18% on a global level. And in the U.S., it has gone from 30% four shows ago, back on May the 3rd, to 17% here as I report the figures tonight on our May 31st show. So we should, with the warmer weather and the effect that negative effect that has on viruses, we should see it go down more as we head into the show 2 weeks from now. We are seeing that the lockdowns are being loosened and more of the restrictions being removed, but they do want to be careful that it doesn't result in any upticks. So we'll keep an eye on that for you and report the information as we have it, as it becomes evident. How have you guys been affected by it? Of course, it restricts your movement. Your whole life is basically impacted by it. But you have to deal with it like any problem and not let it get the best of you. So I'd like to hear from you. I'd like you to call in and tell me how the coronavirus epidemic, some are calling it a plandemic, that it's been planned, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on that also. Is this being engineered or orchestrated for certain ulterior motives? But the call-in number, if you'd like to do that, is 914-803-4379. Now, with the protests going on over the death of the man in Minneapolis, the president has come out and has designated Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. Is Antifa an organization that is using this to advance an agenda? Antifa basically means, as I understand it, anti-fascist. Now we get into this talk about what is fascism, and pretty much it's described in general terms as a very totalitarian, very extremely right-wing oriented. I guess one of the most famous of the fascists in history might be Benito Mussolini in Italy, as he was the head of the fascist party. On the other side of the spectrum, and you might call it the other extreme from fascism, might be described as communism, which is what could be also described as the extreme left political spectrum. It's almost what I like to refer to as the Goldilocks syndrome, where we don't want either extremes, whether they be fascism, the extreme right, or communism, Marxism, which is the extreme left. We want the porridge to be just right. And that's what we believe we have. Our founders gave us in this country, in a republic, and the economic system of free enterprise, and where the people, we the people, are the sovereigns, not dictators or oppressive rulers. But the people seem to get stuck in many places with oppressive rulers, and our founders warned us that we have to be eternally vigilant. I think Thomas Jefferson said that we must remain freedom requires eternal vigilance. Freedom is not free, ladies and gentlemen, as I think you should know by now, and maybe people will start waking up as to what we have as we see how we're dealing with the effects of the coronavirus is having on individuals and organizations, and we need to learn from these observations. So Trump has declared Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, and I wholeheartedly concur. They need to be apprehended if they are breaking the law. Two wrongs do not make a right, and so we need to demand that the state, local, and federal authorities protect their citizens by preventing this type of terrorism in our country. The president also has posted some remarks about what's going on in China. And there again we see an example of a communist government, namely the Chinese Communist Party in headquartered in Beijing, putting oppressive rules on the country of Hong Kong, which is part of China, but it has its own autonomy as was granted to it by the British in many years ago, in 27 years ago, it was, that would be 1984. So I'm going to mention and read what the president has to say about it. He says that this week China unilaterally imposed control over Hong Kong security. This was a plain violation of Beijing's treaty obligations with the United Kingdom in the Declaration of 1984 and explicit provisions of Hong Kong's basic law. It has 27 more years to go. The Chinese government's recent move against Hong Kong is the latest in a series of measures that are diminishing the city's long-standing and very proud status. This is a tragedy for the people of Hong Kong. They certainly recognize it. They have been protesting for a good year now, and indeed the people of the world need to be concerned. China claims it is protecting national security, but the truth is that Hong Kong was secure and prosperous as a free society. Beijing's decision reverses all of that. It extends the reach of China's invasive state security apparatus into what was formerly a bastion of liberty. You could almost compare Hong Kong with mainland China along the same lines as South Korea with North Korea. One is freedom and democracy, namely Hong Kong and South Korea, and the other areas are totalitarianism with lack of freedom and oppressiveness and a poor well-being of the citizenry, as indicated in mainland China and in North Korea. China's latest incursion, along with other recent developments that degraded the territory's freedoms, makes clear that Hong Kong is no longer sufficiently autonomous to warrant the special treatment that we have afforded the territory since the handover in 1984. China has replaced its promise formula of one country, two systems with one country, one system. Therefore, I am directing my administration to begin the process of eliminating policy exemptions that give Hong Kong different and special treatment. My announcement today will affect the full range of agreements we have with Hong Kong, from our extradition treatment to our export controls on dual-use technology and more, with few exceptions. We will be revising the State Department's travel advisory for Hong Kong to reflect the increased danger of surveillance punishment by the Chinese state security apparatus. We will take action to revoke Hong Kong's preferential treatment as a separate customs and travel territory from the rest of China. The United States will also take necessary steps to sanction PRC, People's Republic of China, and Hong Kong officials, the officials directly or indirectly involved in eroding Hong Kong's autonomy. And just if you take a look, absolutely smoldering Hong Kong's freedom. Our action will be strong. Our actions will be meaningful. More than two decades ago, on a rainy night in 1997, British soldiers lowered the Union flag and Chinese soldiers raised the Chinese flag in Hong Kong. The people of Hong Kong felt simultaneously proud of their Chinese heritage and their unique Hong Kong identity. The people of Hong Kong hoped that in the years and decades to come, China would increasingly come to resemble its most radiant and dynamic city. The rest of the world was electrified by a sense of optimism that Hong Kong was a glimpse into China's future, not that Hong Kong would grow into a reflection of China's past. In every decision, I will continually continue to proudly defend and protect the workers, families, and citizens of the United States of America. So the rest of the world needs to pay attention to what is happening in Hong Kong, and we have to come together and put the necessary sanctions and prohibitions on the Chinese Communist Party and are enforcing these oppressive tactics. And as a world body, the United Nations needs to take action to see that the Hong Kong remains or is given back, because it seems like right now the Chinese have passed a law that restricts their autonomy. And I've read that there are those that will be leaving Hong Kong because of such happenings. And of course, the people in Taiwan are very concerned because they are also view themselves as independent from the mainland. So let us pray for the people of Hong Kong and for the world to come together and write this matter as in a sensible way, so that we restore Hong Kong to its past position of one country but a separate system, at least for the remaining of the agreement that the countries signed on to in 1984. I also want to make a comment that about Dr. Chaps has got an email that I want to read, and it has to do with our Supreme Court and recent decision by the United States Supreme Court. And let's see if I can find that now. He sent out an email. He says, the headline was, Supreme Court bans church if over 100 attend. So along with these restrictions that have been put in, the Supreme Court has sided with the government restrictions, even in the case of the church that had the case before it. And Dr. Chaff states in his email that ignoring the First Amendment concerning freedom of assembly, the Supreme Court upheld California's ban on church services if over 100 people attend. And Dr. Chaff says, Justice Roberts betrayed us and joined the liberals. So it was a 5-4 decision. And again, John Roberts has sided with the four liberals on the court. There always seems to be one swing vote. In the past, we remember how Justice Anthony Kennedy was a swing vote in many cases that went against what many of us believe is the right decision. Over the dissent of the four more conservative justices, Chief Justice John Roberts joined the court's four liberals in turning away a request from the South Bay United Pentecostal Church in Chula Vista, California, in the San Diego area. Roberts wrote in a brief opinion that the restrictions allowing churches to reopen at 25% of their capacity with no more than 100 worshipers at a time appear consistent with the First Amendment. Roberts said similar or more severe limits apply to concerts, movies, and sporting events where large groups of people gather in close proximity for extended periods of time. Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote in dissent that the restriction discriminates against places of worship and in favor of comparable secular businesses. Such discrimination violates the First Amendment. Kavanaugh pointed to supermarkets, restaurants, hair salons, cannabis dispensaries, and other businesses that are not subject to the same restrictions. The court also rejected an appeal from two churches in the Chicago area that objected to the Governor Jay Pritzker's limit of 10 worshipers at religious services. Before the court acted, Pritzker modified the restrictions to allow for up to 100 people. The separation of church and state, ladies and gentlemen, we need to continue to talk on that. They're basically, I like Dr. Lively's viewpoint, that they are both co-equal sovereigns. One should not infringe upon the other. And we've talked about this in the past. It's a principle of coadjuvancy. And I believe that Justice Roberts was incorrect in this decision. But I'm running out of time, so I can't spend too much more time on it. But you need to check with Dr. Chaps and read some more on it to form an opinion. All right, I want to read some figures here. The Dow closed at 25,383.11. Believe it or not, with all of the stuff going on, it was up since our last show. The NASDAQ was also up at 9,489.87, and the S&P up likewise, 3,044.31. It's hard to fathom how the stock market continues to rise when we have this pandemic decimating our economy, but there maybe people are buying into the fact that this will be a temporary thing, and they are looking to buy with the hopes that it will continue to go up as the virus subsides. Gold, on the other hand, closed at 1728.70. That was actually down from 2 weeks ago. But silver closed at 1785 an ounce, and that was up. And as I notice these opening now, the figures that I'm getting tonight as the market is open is that silver is up again. And I think we'll see the gold-silver ratio narrowing. I know it is under 100 to 1 now. The Federal Reserve seems to be going all in on quantitative easing. They have basically, the Fed chairman has indicated that there is no limit as to what they can do. And I think they may have to find out the hard way that there are limits and that unended quantitative easing and money printing will not bode well in the future. The latest approval figures on Donald Trump is approval is at 44.2%. That's down from 2 weeks ago. His disapproval at 53.9%, and that is up. Next show, ladies and gentlemen, will be in May and June. Our first show in June, on 2 weeks from tonight, June 14th. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully you've gotten something out of this show. And I'd like you to call in and express your views in the future. We need to share our views. I think we'll be much better off if we have a joint conversation. All right, I want to wish you all a good night, a happy 2 weeks. Stay safe. God bless you, and God bless America. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, everyone. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the non-live portion of the show. 15 minutes of yours truly talking about various issues. And we certainly have a lot to talk about. I really like to listen to Scott Lively, and I have a clip that I'd like you to hear from him where he is talking about the riots and his views on what's behind them. So, without further ado, I am going to play that clip, and then maybe we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it. But this is Scott Lively on the Black Lives Matter riots. Let me see if I can get to the right point on the clip. He's in Memphis, Tennessee, and he had his Sunday show today and every Sunday, and I'd encourage you to listen to it. All right, here we go.
It's not a rioting. I'm not sure what title they'll give it, but I don't want to steal thunder from that, but I actually want to make a parallel point, complementary point, to what I talk about in that article this morning, because I'm making the case that this is first of all, that I predicted that they were never going to let America, the elites were never going to let America establish equilibrium, reestablish equilibrium, and that we were going to get hit with something else as soon as the COVID-19 pandemic started to fade, and of course this is it. But it's also the timing of it is very significant as well, because the rioting began at the beginning of the middle of the news cycle, weekly news cycle, in which the Flynn transcripts were released. And of course, the Flynn transcripts are the cornerstone of the evidence proving Obamagate. This is enormous, and in the greater scheme of things, historically, much more significant than the rioting that's taking place. As serious as that is, it truly is less significant politically, historically, than the Flynn transcripts released, because that's the proof. It was fully exculpatory evidence. In other words, that the Flynn takedown was exactly what President Trump said it was, buying by the Obama administration. Everything that they did was illegal and utterly unethical, corrupt. And all of a sudden, nobody's talking about that because the media is covering all the burning buildings, et cetera, that are going on. And who is it that's out on the street doing this? It's Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And who are they? These are agents of the Purple Revolution. What's the Purple Revolution? It's one of the George Soros color revolutions. It's just the American version. Now, there was the Orange Revolution and this revolution and that revolution, different places in the world, which are about regime change. And this is American domestic regime change, using the exact same tactics and the exact same types of people, Marxist street activists, thugs, agitators, and that's what's going on. There's another angle. The main point that I want to make this morning is that the purpose of Black Lives Matter is to increase racism. That's the purpose of it, in order to justify the race war narrative of the left. And it works, and it's working right now. If you look at the comments in the news stories about all this rioting, you see all kinds of people, white people, who are painting all blacks with the same brush because of what a relatively small number of thugs are doing. It's completely unchristian, and anyone who's doing that, who is claiming Christ, should be ashamed of themselves. Each individual person is responsible for his own actions. We would not think in terms of group identity when we're ascribing blame to people. There is nothing morally corrupt that is rooted in ethnicity. These are things that are all developed in people because of the culture that they live in. Now, is there a lot of thuggery in the inner city black community? Yes, there is. And whose fault is that? It's the Democrats who have intentionally suppressed the black community, kept them dependent on government, broken up their families, allowed all these the children to be raised without a strong male authority, to cluster in gangs and all that. But even with all of that, even though there is a significant amount of that in the inner city, it's not the majority. I know. I lived in the inner city. Ann and I moved into inner city Springfield in 2008 when Forbes magazine had identified Springfield is one of the 10 fastest dying cities in America, right behind Detroit. And so this was no small matter. We bought an abandoned crack house in the middle of the worst neighborhood in Springfield. We moved into it ourselves. We didn't come in from the suburbs. We lived in the inner city. We worked with the inner city, mostly black community, and we had a tremendous, wonderful relationship with them. Most of them are Christians. Most of them don't want to have the conditions around them that they have. They don't support what's going on, and they may have a larger percentage of them may have sort of a sympathy for Black Lives Matter because it's presented as a response to racism, and of course that's a very sensitive issue in the black community, but they are not in support of the rioting that's going on. And for the populace, and God forbid, Christian conservatives, to be painting the entire black community with the same brush because of what a small number of people is doing is unconscionable. And I challenge everyone not to fall into that trap. Don't be manipulated by the elites into justifying their race war narrative. That is the main point that I want to make today. That the blame for what's going on falls on the individuals that are doing it, and that's a mix of useful idiot black thugs and Antifa, mostly white Antifa agitators that have all been trained to do this stuff, and that's they should be identified. They should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Antifa and Black Lives Matter might very well be categorized as domestic terror organizations because of what they're doing right now. I don't think that would necessarily be a bad thing, although I don't know that the reality of racial politics being what it is, I don't know that it would be possible for Black Lives Matter to be identified as a domestic terror organization, but that's what it is doing, is domestic terrorism right now. So, anyway, we need to balance the realities here. We need to identify the truth in the situation and not be manipulated by the elites into groupthink, into group identity. We don't want that for ourselves. We don't want to see that imposed on other people. So, anyway, that's my column for today, my commentary for today. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next time.
Well, that's a wonderful commentary, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, ladies and gentlemen, that we should not be manipulated by these organizations that have an agenda in their platform, and we can see things as they are and pray for guidance from above as to the proper action to take. both extremes of groups such as Black Lives Matter or Antifa. We see them not having our best interests at heart, and the races will come together if we don't get motivated by them to cause each other harm. I think the American people will see through their efforts and will not support them. But when the emotions of get going, especially with so many problems that people have financially and physically, that they get overwhelmed many times and will accept things that are not in their best interest. So you need to pray. You need to ask for help from the source of all good, and that is your Heavenly Father, and don't get manipulated. Whether you're fascism, communism, these are extremes that do not have our best interests at heart. And nothing new under the sun. And we need to recognize them just as the same old, and say, be gone, chase them away, and continue on to develop our country as the founders envisioned for us, and that we have been the, as President Reagan described us, as the shining city on the hill. So that's about it for this week's, this biweekly's broadcast. And we'll be coming back to you again on June the 14th, 2 weeks from tonight. Probably be, well, that'll be just about a week before the summer season starts. Let's pray that we don't have a violent summer. The hot weather tends to get people sometimes into situations that where they would not get into in cold and inclement weather. But we need to always search our conscience and let it be our guide as to what actions to take. Sometimes you don't want to hunker down and hide under your bed, and there are times when you have to get out and take action on certain things, such as attending rallies that are in our best interest, and to speak out for candidates and support, go to events that help them to get elected. So there's a lot you can do. You can use your three V's. As I've said many times, I'll remind you once again to use your three V's. Use them wisely and timely. And those are your voice, which I'm using right now. I'm using two of my three V's right now by broadcasting, using my time to broadcast and my voice to broadcast. And the second, your first V is your voice. Your second one is your valuables, which is your time and or your money. For example, I'm using my time, so I'm using my valuables. Time is money. And finally, you can use your vote. And, of course, 5 months from now, we'll be exercising our vote, most important vote in November of 2020 for the next president and for members of Congress. Let's make sure we have sensible people in office. I believe there's a lot that we have to remove, and we can do that if we stay focused and ask for guidance and get out there and roll up our sleeves and do our job. So that's it for tonight's broadcast. Have a good 2 weeks. Stay safe. Get out and enjoy the fresh air. I don't think you have to wear your mask if you're not with close to each other. You know, the social distancing rule. Obey the sensible rules, but try to get some fresh air and exercise. And don't get